of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From faith to faith. Now, we all know the definition of faith as given to us in Hebrews chapter 11. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Many of us might even have memorized the definition of faith. But what exactly is the meaning of these words? Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And so very often what comes to mind would be the creative acts of God, such as Genesis. We have not seen how God created the world out of nothing, but we believe. We believe that God created the world as he has revealed to us in 6 24-hour days. And then when we think of faith projecting into the future, not only the past, something that we have not seen, but the Bible did tell us about our eternal capital city, our home, New Jerusalem, streets of gold, 12 pearly gates, the walls, 2,300 kilometers length, breadth, and height, decked with all kinds of colorful jewels. We believe, though we have not seen. And so we'll focus quite a fair bit whenever we think of faith on what God has revealed to us concerning the events, activities, including people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But this morning, I want us to review and reconsider our focus. Now, all these focuses are correct. There's nothing wrong with them. But it's not so much these deeds and activities that sometimes, with this understanding, we may have lost sight of what the true meaning or definition of faith ought to be. I want us to focus on the person of Jesus Christ. When we think of this faith of ours, from faith to faith, it is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, that we have failed to focus on all the time, not even most of the time, all the time. For example, when I think of a person, when I think of, say, Brother Lin Kang, whom I've known for quite a number of years since he was a student, taught him at FEBC. Whenever I think of him, I do not think of a photograph of him, his features, like, you know, those Orthodox churches where they have icons of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, a portrait of him, and then they put it on their walls and they venerate that portrait as if that is how Jesus Christ wants us to remember him. No, that's not how Jesus Christ wanted us to remember him, because all these portraits are concoction of men. Whenever you think of a person, you think of what he has done and how that person has related his life to your life, what he has said, his conduct, his behavior, his faithfulness. So when I think of Brother Lin Kang, I think of our time together, heard his preaching, watched his life, his activities. But our problem is sometimes when we focus so much on the activities and the words, we forget the person. Faith to faith is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you remember the gospel record of a woman with an issue of blood? How Jesus Christ was on his way to Jairus' home because his son was sick. And on the way there was a throng of people, many of them. And so there was this woman with an issue of blood that she could not be healed. She went to every physician that she could afford. And so she believed in her heart that if I were to just simply touch the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would be healed. And that's what she did. And she felt the power and she was healed. And Jesus suddenly stopped and said, "Who touched me?" The disciples were surprised. "You are thronged by so many people. So many people touched you." And then the woman realized that Jesus was asking her to reveal herself. And she did. Do you remember what Jesus Christ said concerning her? Thy faith hath made thee whole. This phrase was used by Jesus Christ to touch and heal her from an issue of blood that no physician that she visited was able to touch and heal her. Same with blind Bartimaeus. Jesus Christ gave him sight. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So too also of the Samaritan leper, 10 of them were healed, only one returned to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy faith hath made thee whole. But we all know when you ponder and meditate upon what Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus was the one who made them whole. Jesus was the one who healed the blind Bartimaeus. Jesus was the one who healed the woman with an issue of blood. Jesus was the one who healed the Samaritan leper from leprosy. Not faith. Faith is just simply an act of belief. It is Jesus who healed. Then why did Jesus not say, I healed you? He said, thy faith had made thee whole. It's as if Jesus Christ is telling us that faith is so critical and important that it is a synonym for me. That's why the object of faith is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we would like to consider this morning, from faith to faith. And when we speak on this term, faith to faith, what comes to your mind? Not a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the person by his deeds, by his words, by what he said, by what he's promised, his conduct. And so when we think of the many, many portions of the revelation of God's word about creation, Christ was there who created the world out of nothing. Imagine how powerful my Savior is, and such a great and mighty, powerful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow himself to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. Allow the nails to be hammered into his feet, into his hands. With all the power that he created the world out of nothing at his disposal, and he did nothing. That's how we must look at the definition of faith as we begin this morning. And the Bible here says in verse 17, which is going to be our main focus, from faith to faith. What it means is simply this. Our life in Christ begins in faith. It continues in faith. And it must end in faith. At no point of our sojourn here on earth must faith be absent. Because when God says, without faith, it is impossible to please me. And that is true. And so let's look at the beginning. The Bible says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. And so from the very beginning of our sojourn on this earth as a Christian, it must be the righteousness of God revealed into our hearts. It's not just revealed on scriptures, on the pen and paper. It must be revealed in our heart. If it is not revealed in our heart, then we never had a beginning. We never had it. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what verse 16 says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for this is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first. Of course, they were given the gospel, and through them they send the gospel to the rest of the world. And that's where the Gentiles, the Greeks, come in. And for therein where is the therein? The gospel of Christ. That is where it is found. What exactly is the gospel of Christ? The righteousness of God revealed. Has it been revealed into your heart? What is your beginning like as a believer? You know, there are some people who may not have realized that they have begun. What does that mean, you may ask? You see, some people think that salvation, when I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there must be some kind of warm feeling in my heart. There must be some kind of vision. There must be some special, like an electric charge coursing through my body when I prayed the prayer of salvation. And when I did not feel any of these things, even after I prayed the prayer of salvation, and perhaps even a few times, you may not feel that you are truly born again. You may not feel that you have already experienced the righteousness of God, where the righteousness of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, has already been revealed into your heart, because you thought that it might be felt. Well, if that is your notion and your thinking, dear friend, you may have many, 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 many years to wait for that kind of feeling before you think you begin your life of faith, where the righteousness of God will be revealed to you in your heart. Now, you and I know that if that is the case, we are in serious trouble. Because how tragic it must be for a person to not even realize that he is already a child of God, and so he goes around living his life at home, at work, in school, not realizing that I'm already a child of God. That means he's going to mess things up. He really is going to mess things up, not realizing that he is already a child of God, and he is not living the life reflecting to his loved ones the life of a believer, a child of God, because he thought that there must be some special emotion or feeling coursing through my body at the point when I accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. There is another group that may be more fearful and perhaps even tragic. They thought they have begun. Because we're living in the last days where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been revealed has been now so badly tainted, so badly distorted, so badly spun by the God of this world. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has spawned a billion plus people who thought that they have begun their journey of faith. That is not a gospel that saved, but they truly, sincerely believe with all their heart that they have already started. They call themselves Christians. Everywhere they went, they call themselves Christians. They go on radio, they call themselves Christians. But you and I, when we evaluate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Roman Catholic Church, it is gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ plus their traditions, plus Mary, plus many of the things that are not taught in the scriptures as evidence, as root of salvation, but evidence of salvation. Going to church is important. Yes, very important. But you do not go to church as a means of salvation. Water baptism is important as an evidence of salvation, but not as a means of salvation. So true also when applied to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which we have just partaken a moment ago. If you think that by eating the bread and the cup brings you salvation, that is a travesty. That is another gospel that does not save. And so we have a lot of people who really sincerely, with all their hearts, thought they have begun. But they have not. And therefore their life is going to be one of superstition and carnality. So true of the charismatics, numbered in the hundreds of millions everywhere, even in the underground churches of mainland China, they have infiltrated. Have they begun? No, they have not begun, because their gospel is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins so that you can be a very rich and wealthy man on earth. That is to Christianize the lust of the flesh, to tell the people, let your lust for the flesh and the lust of the eyes just simply go wild. This is why Jesus Christ came, to let this lust control you, take over, because that's exactly what the health and well gospel is. If Jesus wants me to be healthy and wealthy, then let me go for it. They really thought they too have already begun. And the righteousness of God has been revealed to them, and it hasn't. And then, of course, the third group may be the most deadly of all. Believing that the Bible has mistakes, which imply that the gospel that they believe in has mistakes. And then to assure them and to promise them, well, the gospel is perfect. The gospel has no mistakes. But you just said that it came from the Bible with mistakes. How could something that comes from the Bible with mistakes have no mistake? They contradicted themselves. If you say that the Bible is perfect, then it has to come from the book, the Bible that is perfect. You cannot have it both ways. One moment you say the Bible has mistakes, and then the next moment you say, well, the gospel that I'm sharing with you is perfect. How is that possible? How do you know that the gospel, which contains many elements, has no mistakes? Because it came from the Bible with mistakes. That is also another gospel that does not save, that seed of doubt that the Bible with mistakes will course through all the doctrines of the Bible that you believe in. Have they also begun their journey of faith? Sadly, tragically, no. Because the gospel they believe in has mistakes. How could someone be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes mistakes, whose words have mistakes. That's why the faith is in the person. When you think of the words, do not forget the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's how we remember people. That's how Jesus Christ wants us to remember him, to know him by how he has worked in history, how he continues to work in the present, and how he will continue to work in the future. Of course, the third group would be those who know they have begun. These are the ones who have experienced the transforming power of the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. They know they have begun. They know that the righteousness of God has been revealed into their heart, and that's why they are righteous within. They know. They know how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is, how he came down from heaven, how much the Lord Jesus Christ loved him, how great a sacrifice that he has done for him. To have God Almighty descending from heaven to strip away his external glory so that he could take on flesh and blood and become one of us, but without sin. Walking in the midst of men, knowing full well the moment he became man, that these are the same men, women, and children that he came to save, and they also will be the same men, women, and children who will shout, "Crucify him," one day, and how they're going to spurn him, how they're going to spit on him, how they're going to punch him, how they're going to tear his back apart, how they're going to weave a crown of thorns and force it down his head, and the blood will flow and he will be covered in blood as they crucified him. And this is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did all these things for me. My Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God has been revealed in his heart. And he is a powerful Savior too, because of the many miracles that he did. And all the miracles that he did were all one that will benefit mankind. He fed them, he healed them, he cast out the devils from them, and he revealed the truth to them about himself, that I am indeed God. Those who have seen me have seen the Father. Those who know me will know the Father. And that is why Jesus says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," even though it was him who has made them whole. Have you begun your journey of faith? I pray so, I hope so. You have to make sure that you have begun this race. Because if you have not begun this race, you cannot speak of one who is continuing in this race. Because the Bible says, from faith to faith. You do not begin in faith and then throw everything away. The person who has the righteousness of God revealed into his heart must know that he has already begun this journey. And if you think that you must feel some special lightning kind of an experience before you truly have accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, please remove that notion from your heart. A person who has revealed, has been revealed the righteousness of God in his heart, will live a righteous life according to scriptures. He knows it in his heart. He knows that his life has been transformed from inside out. That is a transformation that he can reflect upon when he looked back into his own heart, into his own life. He knew his journey of salvation in Christ has begun. And now he must continue. But the devil will try his best to snatch away his life of holiness, stopping him from continuing in this path. Now remember, the devil cannot take away your salvation. The Lord knows how much we need that assurance. And so he has given to us in the New Testament special revelation that touch specifically on this. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. No one can snatch you, take you out of the Father's hand and my hand, Jesus says. Why did he have to give us all these where he did not have to give any of these assurances to the Old Testament believers? Because he knows that we are all rooted in idolatry. We are serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the nations that are also rooted in idolatry and controlled by the God of this world. He knows that the moment you step out of your home, if it's a Christian home, if you step out of your church, you are in the devil's domain. And so the life of faith must continue. Because you have begun the life of faith and you must not stop the life of faith. You mean a believer can stop a life of faith that has really begun in his life? Of course, you look at Lot. You contrast that with Abraham. These are two prime examples of believers. Life of Lot, did he lose his salvation? No, the Bible described him in Peter's epistles, just Lot. His life was vexed in his soul, even though he did not commit the sins of the people of Sodom, such as fornication, such as homosexuality. He committed those, did not commit any of those sins, but he knew that his life was a life of compromise. It became so bad that on the day, on the night of the fire and brimstone judgment, he went as sent by God through the two angels who visited him. Go to your daughters who are married and tell them about the impending judgment, which was only a few hours away. By morning, this city of ours, this beloved city of Sodom, will cease to exist. You have to come out. Get out. Come out with me. They thought he was joking. You're joking. You're mocking us. Your whole life, he probably did not tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. He probably did not tell them about how they will die in sin and end up in hell. He did not live a life that gave him the moral strength and righteousness, the moral right to tell them the truth, because he lost it. With so many years of decadent living in the world, though he was born again, he began his life of faith, but he did not continue. And so he lost his witness. He did not have time to regain it because he only had a few hours left. I could not imagine how Lot must have felt when his married daughters and the sons-in-law slammed the door in his face and he had to walk back home, knowing in his heart that he will never see his married daughters again. Whether they had children or not, we are not told. But if they had their children, then he wouldn't even see his grandchildren if they are old enough to believe, and they did not believe. They all perish. Because the Bible did say that the youngest to the oldest were homosexuals. The boys were there. The men, but the old men were there, banging down the door, trying to have the two angels for sinful purposes. They all perished. That's how important the Lord says, you must continue in faith. The world needs you to continue in faith. Because Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I remain the light of the world. Did he not assure us that? And so he is in the world through your life and my life. And when we do not continue in faith, they were not able to see Christ in us, just as they could not see Christ in the life of Lot. And the world of Lot perish in the fire and brimstone. Perish. But thank God, not the world of Abraham. Abraham began in faith and he lived the life of faith, and his life continued to bless us and encourage us because it is recorded in Holy Scriptures. We must continue a life of faith. Of course, those who thought they had begun, they could not even if they had wanted to. These are the people who have not begun the life of faith. They thought they have. It's just like when a person runs the race. You know, there are some people who try to cheat in the marathon. It's a very long race, 42 kilometers long, about what, 26 miles, it is said. There are those who started from the very beginning, those who have begun. And there may be one or two or a handful who try to cut in and start halfway. So instead of running the entire 42 kilometers, they may run maybe 20 kilometers. And so they hope to win by running 20 kilometers, less than half the distance of how those who started from the very beginning. What do you think will happen to them? You think you can just simply jump in and think that you are part of the race? Why? Because you went to the bathroom and soaked yourself with water, making yourself look so full of perspiration. And you have just taken your first step. Pretending. Cut in somewhere in between. And there are those who just simply did so because they think that by just simply coming into the church and join all the rest of God's people, run the race together. But are you really running the race? Are you really? You know, there is a danger for people coming to a sound biblical church. Sometimes we do not realize that. We think that inviting your friends and your loved ones to come to church is a good thing. It is a good thing. But please understand that it is also fraught with a very serious danger. And we know that a sound, good biblical church is very hard to find. Sound biblical churches are disappearing from the face of the earth. That's why many seminaries in America have closed down. We receive letters from them. They used to receive our FEBC Burning Bush journal. And they replied, "Thank you very much. We love the journal." But one day they wrote in to Dr. Jeffrey Koo and said, "Please stop sending us your Burning Bush journal. We appreciated it very much all these years. But we need to let you know that our seminary is winding down. We do not have enough students." You see, when fundamental sound churches are dying, emptying, no one will go full-time. You know that, right? Those who go full-time in liberal churches, in charismatic churches, they're not going to go to your fundamentalist school to learn about the fundamentals of conservative Christianity. They are dying, they are closing, literally, they close. And once they close, you know it is almost impossible to start again. When you look at the scene, the horizon of fundamentalist churches, it's gone. It's over. When we were in America in the late 1980s and the early 1990s, we wanted to actually attend a BP church. And we were in Pennsylvania, near Philadelphia, the beginning of the BP Church, where Faith Theological Seminary was near there. We visited Faith Theological Seminary, the seminary of the BP movement from the very beginning when it started in the 1930s and 40s and 50s and so on. The nearest BP church was about two hours drive away. And it was just simply a house church, not a big proper church building, a handful of people, we were told. And because we were not very, very good in driving in winter, so we dare not attempt to go there. Because 2 hours one way and then another 2+ hours back, it was very difficult for us. And so we just have no choice but to look for one nearer by, as conservative as possible. But none of them were BP, of course. Sound biblical churches are very hard to find. And I pray that Sydney BP Church will remain a sound, faithful church, earnestly contending for the faith until the Lord Jesus returns. Pray for your leaders. But there is a danger attending a sound biblical church when a person just jump into the race midpoint, thinking that, well, now I'm in a church that is sound and good and biblical, so maybe I am also able to now live the life of a faith. Oh, so they will try. They will try 1 year, 2 years, 5, even 10 years or more, those who have very strong willpower. They might even rise to positions of leadership because they are able to do it so well, pretend so well. Like a person running the race, he jump in after 10 kilometers, those perspiration will really be real perspiration, no longer the soaking of his dry clothes with water. It's now real perspiration of the 10 kilometers. And so now he's thinking, wow, I'm heading to the end. The danger of attending a sound biblical church is when they could have been born again, but they are not. They think that just because I come to church, I worship like all these conservative, believing, Bible-believing Christians, I become one of them. They go through basic Bible knowledge classes and be baptized like them, to take the Lord's Supper like them, to serve like them, to do everything like them. And so they hope that if I do a lot of righteous acts outside, one day I might become righteous within. It is dangerous because they get used to that deception. They get used to that self-delusion. And if we do it long enough, a lie becomes a truth, even to his own soul. Of course, the people around him will never know because we can't read hearts. But that person himself needs to know. Because the saddest part in a person's life is to think that he is born again because he is living the external form of a life of a believer, singing the right hymns, saying the right thing, even have the ability to teach the Bible. You mean an unbeliever can teach the Bible? An unbeliever can get doctoral in theology in the Bible. I've met them in seminaries. But when you listen to them teach, it's like a person teaching maths, science, history, and geography. It's just a job to them. They teach it with such coldness, no warmness of heart. Going through the motion, they teach you the grammar of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. They teach you the syntax of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior, because they do not have a personal, intimate relationship with them. And when they study the Bible, it is for others. They could hardly say that I studied the Bible to transform my life, to help me become more like my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I am living his life for his sake, for his glory, so that by my good works, they will see Christ in us. That's not the motive. That's not their goal and desire, because they have not begun the race. And so they try on their own strength to continue the race, which was impossible. And so you have individuals who join the church and yet gospel, after they have been preached to them, they do not believe. And worse still, some of them leave the church. And you know that in Sydney, hardly do you find a sound biblical church to attend when you leave Sydney BP Church. Most of the churches there are in the ecumenical movement are derelict. Because if there are sound biblical churches, there was no need to start a Sydney BP Church. And so when you leave a sound biblical church, you're basically turning your back on the truth. And what Hebrews warn us, after a person who have tasted externally all the wonderful, wonderful testimonies and experience, all the correct teaching on water baptism, on the Lord's Supper, have tasted everything, and then you turn your back on the truth. What do you hope to find out there in the world? Another Savior to come and re-crucify himself and die again on the cross for you? You're not going to find anyone. And now pride will stand in the way that they will not return. That is why attending sound biblical church has that danger that many of us are not aware of. And so while you are in Sydney BP Church, have you truly begun in faith? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you? We are not talking about his portrait. We are talking about knowing him by what he has done, knowing him by what he has taught. That's the Bible. You can see or read about his deeds in the Bible. We're not just simply talking about the gospel, we're talking about the whole Bible. The deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ is scripture. The whole Bible is summarized in two words, Jesus Christ. Our faith must be in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know the person by what he has done. We know the person by what he has taught, his words. And then we continue to study, and this continuation will be seen in our prayer life. And that's why the Bible says, don't ever stop praying. A person who is born again, who has begun his life of faith in Christ Jesus, will never, never stop praying. That's why Jesus tells us, pray without ceasing. A person who is truly born again, who has begun the race, he knows that he is fighting against not flesh and blood, fighting against principalities and powers in high places. And he can't do that without the help of the Heavenly Father and his Lord Jesus Christ. And so they will pray without ceasing. The moment he wakes up, he prays without ceasing. Because at any moment of his day-to-day life, he could stumble and fall into sin, even in his own home. You know how you wake up, you feel so fine, you feel so good about yourself and about your walk with the Lord. And then within half an hour, you quarrel with your wife. What happened? I thought you felt so fine and so good and so righteous, so holy. When you woke up, you felt so good with your Lord. And then over what, a breakfast here or some activity, you get upset. And you raise your voice either to your wife or to your child unjustly for whatever reason. Or you want to go to church, supposed to go there for worship and so on, and something happened. You did not return home after worship a happy temper. Something happened after service, during service, or during the fellowship for whatever reason. We failed to pray. We failed to pray before we went to church. We failed to pray while we are in church. We failed to pray when we left church. We failed to pray. A person knows that he is always facing spiritual forces that will try his best to trip his life of holiness and godliness so that he will mess up his witness for Christ. The continuation of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is equivalent to holding on to a holy image of Christ by the way that we live to everybody in our lives. That's what it means. That's what it is. It's Christ again. In evangelism, this verse is about evangelism where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If I have to go to prison for preaching the gospel of Christ, so be it. So be it. I'm not sure whether you knew about what John MacArthur did in his church. John MacArthur is a very famous conservative Baptist pastor, written many, many books, many commentaries. And his messages are accepted and received by many people as one of the very good, if not one of the best preachers of our time. I'm not sure whether you read in the news about how he challenged the Californian governor's law concerning no coming to church for physical face-to-face worship. He gave his reasons in his writing and he said, I'm prepared to go to jail. You want to imprison me? Go ahead. I'm prepared to suffer, like the Apostle Paul. So some believers criticize him. Why do you want to do that? Now, you and I know that he is a theologian. He's not ignorant of the scriptures. He knew what he was doing. And before we point fingers at him, I think we should do this. Now, we know in the Bible did teach us to submit to all authorities. We all know that. Because there's no authority over us except that which God has appointed. We understand that. But on the other hand, we also know that there will be times when we have to obey God rather than man. Now, both these teachings are there in the scriptures. We have to obey God and man on some occasions. That means we will have to face the consequence. So by disobeying man, I'm prepared to face the consequence now. Can you come up with a list of activities that you would place under the heading, obey God better than man? What would be on your list of activities today in the 21st century that you are prepared to go to prison and lose your life in the course of obeying God rather than man? Now, according to Dr. John MacArthur, he placed this on that face-to-face worship is what God commands us to do. And we must do it. Now, he put that on that list. Now, many of us who criticize him do not. Fine, you put it on the other list, all right? Obey God, because no authority that can come over us except that which God has placed over our head. All right, you put it on the other list, and so you do so. And some people would argue, well, since we can use technology and Zoom and so on and so forth as an alternate worship, why didn't MacArthur do that? And that's why he is wrong. Now, you and I know that that reason is not correct, not biblical. Are you saying that if there is no modern technology and there's no Zoom, then you would do what MacArthur has done? That means MacArthur is right, you know. If there's no Zoom, we are going to physically gather. Now, when MacArthur gets his people together, he will have his social distancing, the people will all wear masks and so on. Okay, it doesn't mean that he just simply come together. You see, what makes him very unhappy is that when many of these mob that burn cities in America because of their Black Lives Matter chanting, many of these governors and leaders or all these never said a word about social distancing, where they did not wear masks and they just gathered together. Where is the rebuke? And here you have a Christian pastor, very obedient to the laws of man all his life. And now suddenly he has this deep conviction and many people want to fault him. Evangelism, bearing a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not supporting John MacArthur, neither am I criticizing him. I'm just looking at my own self. I know the scriptures just as he knew the scriptures, and I know about that part of the scriptures, just like the Apostle Peter said to the Sanhedrin Council, should I obey God or man? So we know that doctrine too. And now my challenge is, what should I put in that list for myself before God that is a life of faith in this world that will try to snuff out and suffocate my holy witness for Christ? And worship is a very wonderful holy witness for Christ. To come together to praise and to worship the Lord was what he has commanded us to do. Did he not say that? Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are. But is that not what we are by law commanded not to do? To MacArthur, that belongs to the list. Obey God rather than man. To us, it does not. Then what should belong to that list of ours? We have to ask ourselves. So much so that my life of faith in Christ will not be jeopardized or compromised, whereby I have to stand like the Apostle Paul, have to stand. And he wrote many of the New Testament epistles like Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, while he was in prison, and others as well. They put on that list. Because a life of faith will be a life of courage, a life of faith that is totally dedicated to the Lord. And we have to say, like what Esther said, if I perish, I perish. That's the life of faith. If that is not how we continue the life of faith, we are going to stumble. We are going to collapse. We are going to become more like Lot than Abraham. And this is also seen in our devotion. It is seen in our ability to forgive one another. It is also seen by the way that we apologize to one another when we stumbled and hurt one another, knowingly or unknowingly. We must not allow pride to stand in the way of our fellowship, because we are part of the family of God. We are all going to heaven. I do not want to arrive home in heaven and see you there, and then the last thought and the last interaction with you on earth is we are angry and upset with one another. You know how shameful it is to arrive home in heaven standing before our common Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we quarrel and we could not make up while we are on earth. You know how shameful and how tragic and how sad that is. And if the Lord Jesus Christ were to just simply look at both of us in silence, he doesn't have to say anything. How do you think you feel? What caused through your heart at that moment in time? You dare to look up and look at the eyes of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, with that person right next to you that you cannot get along because of pride? Because you refuse to say, I am sorry. And when the person says to you, I am sorry, you refuse to forgive. A life of faith is a life where we live for the Lord Jesus Christ with his mind, with the mind of Christ. It's a mind of humility, with the love of Christ constraining me, whereby I love my brothers and sisters in Christ with an unconditional sacrificial love. Jesus Christ came down from heaven's glory to become one of us And now Jesus Christ says, will you come down from your ivory tower and not let pride stand in the way of building relationships with one another for Jesus' sake, whereby the oneness that you can have in Christ, I have given you all the mind of Christ. Why can't you be one in Christ? You're supposed to. You should. Isn't that the glory of God that must be seen by the oneness that you show to the world? That's what he prayed for in John 17, which, by the way, is the message for Pandan this morning at 10:30. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is the oneness that we have right here and now on this earth, in this sin-filled world, a oneness that the world long to have, but they will never get outside of Christ. The devil, the god of this world, is a troublemaker. He is a master sower of discord. That's why the world needs to see the power of God and the love of God in Christ by our oneness. And that is why a person who continues his life of faith will have this oneness. He will show forth this oneness. He can't help it because it is the work of God. He has begun in faith and now he continues in faith. And that is a life of holiness, righteousness, and godliness according to scriptures. And then he will carry on until the very end. From faith to faith, he ends in faith. The righteousness of God has revealed in his heart at the beginning. The righteousness of God continued to be revealed in his life by his living. And now the righteousness of God will be revealed in his life at the conclusion. Now the conclusion is only with reference to his life of faith on earth. He doesn't conclude in living a life of faith. He continues to live a life of faith in heaven. So please do not think that when I arrive home in heaven, oh, I don't need faith anymore. Everything is by sight. That's not true. That's not true. Now remember, you do not need to have any more hope. Hope is always future. Faith is past and future. Don't forget that. We believe by faith that God created the world out of nothing. I believe by faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago for my sin, rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, 3 days after he died for my justification. Are we saying that since I go to heaven, I don't need faith, I stop believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins? No, you still believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. You still believe that God created the world out of nothing. When you arrive home in a new heaven and you are standing in the streets of gold in the New Jerusalem, you don't hope to stand in the streets of gold in New Jerusalem once anymore. You're there already. So hope will disappear when it turns into reality. But you don't stop having faith. So from faith to faith, it continues on into eternity. So from faith to faith, it ends here on earth, which means your ministry ends on earth. Your life of faith in this earthen vessel ends on earth. But your life of faith in the new glorified body, in the resurrected body, continues into heaven. And so from faith to faith actually lasts for eternity. It may end with my witness here on earth in this earthen vessel, but it continues on in eternity in the presence of my Heavenly Father forever. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. That's why faith is so important. Anything that is not done in faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Have you begun in faith? You must continue in faith. And you must end in faith. Because one day, you will stand before your Heavenly Father in glory. And as the hymn tells us, whatever it is, whether we have to walk through the valley or whether we are going to experience the rapture, either way, this is our blessed hope. Do you believe that one day, you will stand in the presence of your Heavenly Father. And this world is not your home. You are just passing through as a stranger, as a sojourner, serving the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And these are precious times where you can serve, because when you arrive home in glory, the day of service on earth is done. You enter into the day of service in heaven. Oh, you still serve. That's why the Bible describes us as servants in Revelation chapter 22. And that is a description of us in the New Jerusalem. Still servants. But it's a different kind of service. Our service here on earth is to help brothers and sisters in Christ who may get hurt, who may get into trouble, who may need you to lift them up, who may need you to speak words of encouragement. You don't need to do any of these things with brothers and sisters in Christ in heaven, because nobody will get hurt, nobody will stumble, nobody will fall, nobody will be discouraged, because we are home in the realm of perfection and holiness, and only goodness dwells. But while we are here on earth, fighting the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ, your life of faith can be a tremendous blessing and encouragement, just as Paul's life of faith was to the believers in his time. When they all looked up to him, and they saw how Paul, for the sake of Christ, and for the love that he had for Christ and for the believers, he went to prison because of the gospel. And the Bible shared with us how many believers were encouraged and strengthened in the inner man because the Apostle Paul suffered for Jesus' sake. And they said, so must we follow in the footsteps of our spiritual father, which Paul himself said to them, follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what, from faith to faith, it's all about. Have you begun? Then you must continue for Jesus' sake. For how long? To the very end. And dear friend, the end is nearer than you think. By God's mercy and grace, we could very well be that generation that will experience the rapture. The world is spinning out of control. You look at the chaos that is in America. This coming election in less than 30 days from now in November in America is very, very revealing, because the man in charge of America will impact and affect the rest of the world in ways that you and I can never do. What Trump did, you think it is an accident? No one gave him an ounce of chance of becoming the president of America. And yet he became the president of America with 0 second of experience. He was a businessman. He was not a governor. He was not doing anything in any governmental position. And suddenly you have a businessman in office. And he just ran the America and the world like a businessman than a politician. Whoever comes, you watch. The Bible says, when you hear peace, peace, the rapture will take place. Why would people want peace when they are already enjoying peace? And for them to want peace and long for peace, which means the world will be in deep chaos and calamity, so much so that they are prepared to do anything for peace. And so when someone offers them peace, who? The Antichrist will come. You bow down and worship me and obey me, I will give you peace. And so the Bible describes him as riding on a white horse to conquer, using the name of peace, carrying a bow without arrows. So he will conquer the world using peace. And when you hear that, boom, rapture will come. One moment you're seated there, one moment you're doing whatever, suddenly you're in the presence of the Lord. And that's why we must begin in faith, continue in faith, and end in faith. From faith to faith, the righteousness of God is revealed. And it will continue to be revealed when we arrive home in glory. You stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are now seeing, experiencing the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, standing in front of him. May he say to you, dear friend, dear brothers and sisters in Christ in Sydney, may the Lord say to you, well done, and welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Let us be encouraged. Let us continue to live for him in holiness, in godliness, in this difficult time, for Jesus' sake. Care for one another. Love one another. Pray for one another. And always do so from faith to faith in Christ. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise thee that truly thou art a good God. You have saved us, and you have given us so many assurances that we never walked alone. For the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been given all power in heaven and in earth, has promised us that he'll be with us always, even unto the end of the world. Living in the last days, the last days of the last days, O God, it is so momentous, and yet it is so perilous. Help us, O Lord, this morning to first make sure of our own salvation, that we have truly begun a life of faith. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that we may continue this same life of faith, bearing a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that by our good works, everywhere we go, they are going to see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven. And sustain us, that we may end our sojourn here on earth in faith and continue the life of faith when we enter into eternity in thy holy presence. This is our heart's cry and our joy and our delight, O Lord, to please thee, to honor thee, so that Christ will increase and we decrease as we live a life of faith to the praise and glory of his holy and blessed name, a life from faith to faith. For this we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.